Good to see you this morning at church. Good to be at church. Good to be saved this morning. Hope everyone had a good week, a great weekend. But it is just a blessing to be in church. I look forward to these days rolling around. So I'm looking forward to see what God will do in our hearts, what God will do in this church today. But from the back, while you're standing, I'm going to ask Brother Jim Bush, if you'll raise your voice and ask God to bless the service this morning.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the day that we have, Lord. Lord, that we can be here, Lord, to serve you. Lord, we thank you for these things, Lord. And Lord, prepare our hearts, Lord. Be ready to hear the word, Lord, and to feast upon it, Lord. And now, Lord, just thank you for your word, Lord, that we have, Lord, that we know how to live, Lord. Lord, just let us take your word and leave out here, Lord. And Lord, just tell others, Lord. And Lord, just bring it in, Lord. And Lord, that they can hear the word, Lord, and be saved, Lord. Lord, we thank you for these things now, Lord. Just bless our day, Lord. We thank you for your goodness, your kindness, and your mercy, Lord, and your great salvation towards us, Lord. Even though we don't deserve it, Lord, we thank you for your mercy, Lord. Lord, we thank you for these things now. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. If you would, I invite you to stand with me. Turn to page 291. Page 291, Higher Ground. I'm pressing on the upward way. Turn over with me to page 320, page 320 in the garden.
Share
Grab your Bible and turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians, chapter 6. We are going to go over verses 10, 11, 12, and 13 today. Ephesians, chapter 6, 10 through 13. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Amen. I love these verses. I'll tell you what, these, especially in today's day and age, these some verses might be a good idea to read them every single day, for sure. All right. For our final song, we're going to turn to page 377. Page 377. We're going to sing He Lives. We're going to sing this one a cappella. Page 377. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. Stormy blast, the day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. Good singing this morning. Amen. I got to get on Ellie. She's just been a big slacker. I'll tell you what, I don't know what I'm going to do with her. She lays around all day and doesn't do anything. Yeah, I can mess with my daughter because she messes with me. Though you might not believe that, she does. But one of the reasons why we sing some of the songs a cappella is because she's just slothful and is not learning the hymn book like she ought to be learning the hymn book. Man, you're going to start throwing stuff at me. It's worth it. Amen. No, she's trying to work. That's why we sing a cappella some of the songs, because Ellie doesn't know them yet. She's doing her best to try to work through the hymn book, trying to get them all down. So we're working on it. So, yeah, I thank God for my daughter. I thank the world of my daughter. She's going to live with me till she's 50. Amen. No. I've been praying for it. God, if God would have her to get married, God would bring the right man across her path that loves him first. A man that loves God first. And he's got to get approved by the church. Amen. And he's got to go through the gauntlet of the men in the church. That's right. And I'll be at the very end. And we'll bring her brothers up to take part in that as well. Amen. 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 Love you, Ellie. Thank you for all your hard work. And you're playing on the piano. Amen. So this morning, take your Bible, look at Genesis chapter number 6, verse number 1. Genesis chapter 6, verse number 1. Genesis chapter number 6. And verse number 1 this morning. All right. Bible says here, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. Into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. The same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, dear God. Thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness, Lord. Thank you for this church building, Lord. Thank you for the brethren, Lord, for the opportunity to gather this morning, Lord. So we ask for your help now, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for voices to be able to sing out to you. But Lord, we ask now that you open our ears. We ask that you open our hearts and our eyes. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would bear witness to truth. Lord, that you'd give us what we need, Lord, and that you would lead God and direct in all wisdom, understanding, and guidance. So we ask these things now in thy precious name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So the Bible says here, last week we looked at in verse number, where it talks about in verse number 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And we looked here about how the Lord here speaks that his spirit will not always strive with man. What a sad day we looked at last week about how the Creator now, 6 chapters in the Bible, has to be striving with man because of man's wickedness and the way that man's heading. Take your Bible, look real quick at 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter 3, verse number 6. 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 6. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 6. The Bible says here, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved into fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's not willing that any should perish. Okay, there goes Calvinism. Flush it down the toilet. I mean, I don't know what you do with this verse here. God's not willing that any. Again, I'm not very smart. Got to go very far to figure out what any means, but I think any means any, anybody. You know, it's amazing what people will argue with you about. I had a young man one time wanted to argue with me that you can get something from nothing. Really? I was talking about evolution. I was preaching on evolution and creation. And this one young man wanted to argue about how you can get something from nothing. It's very interesting. I still don't understand his argument. But he believed that you could get something from nothing. It's amazing where your ignorance can take you and what you can believe or desire to believe. But God's not willing that any should perish. And God, I believe, even to this day, is striving with man in this sense, trying to get man's attention before it's eternally too late. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that God strives. I'm thankful that God contends. I'm thankful that God has given the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful to God that there's still light in the world. There's still light in the world. There's still Christian, Bible-believing Christian. There's still His Word in this world, the light. And I'm glad for that. A couple weeks ago, I told you that I went into one of these bookstores around here, and as soon as we walked in with my daughter, we walked into this bookstore. One of the first tables that was in this bookstore had nothing but a bunch of books on witchcraft and New Age stuff and Wicca and everything. But then if you go about 5 aisles back and turn to the left, just a little, there's a little tiny section there at the very bottom. There's a King James Bible. So amidst even all the darkness and filth in a bookstore like that, yet God is still giving a little bit of light in that bookstore if somebody wants it. Somebody desires. Sitting there on the bottom shelf, off towards the back, there's the light. What are you going to do with the light? So God's Spirit will not always strive with man. So what we learn also from this is there's going to come a point to where God says, that's enough. God says, no more. I'm not taking no more. We're going to deal with this thing and it's over. And that's where we find ourselves in Genesis chapter 6. The wickedness of man's heart was only evil continually. His imaginations, what he did was wickedness. And God says, my Spirit will not always strive with man, and I'm going to give him 120 years to get this right. 120 years to get this right. And we see the same principle there in 2 Peter chapter 3, that the first time God destroyed the earth by water with a flood that destroyed the whole earth, this second time it's going to be by fire. He's wiping it all out. Everything we see going up in smoke, gone. All right? So, the Lord states here that man's day should be in 120 years. Noah is said back in Genesis chapter 6, verse number 3, Noah is said to have been a preacher of righteousness. He preaches righteousness for 120 years that God's judgment is going to come. And not only does he preach righteousness, he exhibits the faith in what he believes by building that ark. You see, faith is not something that you can't see in a sense that it's not something vague. It's something that's known and then you walk in that information that you're given. God told Noah, listen, I'm going to destroy this earth by water. It's going to be a flood. And he tells Noah, listen, Noah, this is the deliverance I'm going to provide for mankind. I want you to build this ark. And he gives him the dimensions. He tells him how to build it. And then he gives 120 years. He says, Noah, while you're building, you also preach. So you back up what you're preaching. And see, our lives ought to back up what we proclaim about Jesus Christ. We ought not just to say the right words, we ought to live the right words. There's a lot of Christians today. They say the right words, but you hang around them long enough, and it's like, you got a good talk, but your life and actions speak otherwise. May that not be the case in our own lives. May our talk back up how we walk, and may our walk back up how we talk. Okay? So Noah here is going to build this ark, 120 years. Take your Bible, look at Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews 11, verse number 6. Hebrews chapter 11. And look at verse number 6. Hebrews 11, verse number 6. Hebrews 11, verse number 6, the Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That's the first part. You got to believe that he is. But then there's something else that comes along with it. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I've heard some say, well, God sought me. And that's true. But were you also seeking God? That's the other side of the equation. See, the Bible says that for he cometh to God must believe that he is. Exactly. You have to believe that God's there. But if you believe that God's there, then you ought to seek him. You ought to seek him. Take your Bible, hold your hand there in Hebrews, because I'm coming right back to it. Look at Proverbs chapter number 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. So, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Who does God reward? Them that diligently seek him. Look at Proverbs 2, verse 1 through 5. I believe this is a definition of diligence. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifteth up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. That's what's missing today. That's what's missing today in our soul winning programs. That right there, brethren, I don't know how many times I preached those verses in the juvenile center. Hundreds of times. You say, what would you tell those boys and girls in the juvenile center? Right there it is. I'm not leading you no prayer. I'll pray with you, but I'm not going to pray for you like Simeon wanted in Acts chapter 8. You pray to God for me. Well, if we just kneel right here and you just repeat these words that I say, bam, you're in. Absolutely not. Maybe if the heart's right. But not because you just repeated some words. And that's what's going on a lot today in our churches. Altar calls, raise your hand, just repeat this prayer after me. Bam, you're in, you're good to go. And I'm afraid nothing's taking place with a majority of people. It's just through the motions. You see, because look here in Proverbs chapter 2. Look what Solomon says here in Proverbs chapter 2. My son, if thou wilt receive my words. First, you got to be able to receive God's word. Are you willing to receive them? Then once you receive him, you got to hide him, because this goes over to the book of Matthew with the sower. As he sows seed, what happens? Defile the air, try to come and steal away the seed. Satan tries to come in immediately and steal away the seed, the word sown in that heart. The Bible says Satan immediately tries to come in and steal it. So Solomon here in his wisdom tells his son, son, once you receive my words, it's good to receive it, but then you need to hide it. Why? Because the devil's a thief and he's going to come in and try to steal it away and get you to forget what God said. Quickly. And this, all these, there seems to be a thread woven through all these sermons that God's just been putting on my heart. We look for an easy way out. We look for an easy way out. But once you're saved, there is no easy way out if you're going to fight the spiritual battles for the Lord. There's no easy way out. Here, there's things that this individual's got to do. He's got to receive the words, which is good. Then he has to hide my commandment. He says, and hide my commandments with thee. Why? So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. Is your ear inclined to wisdom? What is wisdom? It's the fear of the Lord. And you know what's missing today in salvation, and a lot of our salvation? A fear of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. We got a lot of people coming to God today, they don't fear God. All that's preached is God's love. God loves you, God loves you, God loves you, and God is love. But also God's a God of judgment, and God's a holy God, and God's a righteous God, and God's a jealous God, and God will not put up with sin in your life. We miss these things. See, there's two sides to God. And see, the Bible says here, incline thine ear unto wisdom. And apply. So you receive it, you hide it, you incline yourself to it then, but then now you apply thine heart to understanding. Does your heart desire God? Because God desires your heart. You know, David said in through the Psalms, I sought God with my whole heart. My whole heart. And when I got saved, I wanted God. I wanted God with my whole heart. Now, we talked a little bit on Wednesday night. Listen, this some people term it lordship salvation, where you come to God and you got to be able to repent of every sin you committed. It's nonsense, because there's no way to possibly do that, because you can't remember every sin you've committed. But one thing you can know is that you are a sinner. I said it Wednesday night. I can't remember what I did yesterday, and that's about the truth. So many things going on in my life and situations and talking to different people and trying to get sermons together. And sometimes my mind just gets like mush sometimes. I can't remember scripture verses, like everything just runs together. But one thing I do know is that I am a sinner outside of Jesus Christ. I have not just sinned, but I am a sinner. It's not a matter that I sin, but then I'm still good. No, there is no good. I'm a sinner. And so individuals will say, well, you're witnessing somebody, well, do I have to give up my beer to get saved? Because I struggle with that, and it's something that's got an addiction in my life, and I struggle with it. My question to an individual will be, are you willing to get rid of it? Are you willing to get rid of it? What would you say to somebody who goes around to whorehouses all the time? Well, if I come to Christ, do I have to go sleeping around in the whorehouses down there in Las Vegas, Nevada? That's one of my struggles. And that's one thing I battle with. Yes, but are you willing to give it up? Do you want to give it up? See, most people come to God today with something in this hand, and they want God in this hand. And God said, uh-uh, no. It's the whole heart. The whole heart. Are you willing to come to God? And listen, this is my mindset. When I came to God, I said, God, if you want me to wear a red shirt every Sunday, I'm willing to wear a red shirt every Sunday. God, I just want you. Whatever you want, God, I want you. You see where the heart was at. God, I just want you. Lord, I want you in my life. Those that are married in here, do you not want your spouse's whole heart? Would you allow your spouse to go see another individual every so often? Or would you say, if you're going to marry me, you have to give me your whole self? Why do we do different with God? And we do different with God. Well, no, you ain't got to give that up. You can keep going on with that sin. That's fine. God will still love you through it. Try that with your spouse. Try that with your spouse. Honey, I love you. I really do. I love you. But for next week, I'm going to Las Vegas. And I'm going to see a few women down there. But I'll be back next week and we'll spend some time together. See how long that marriage lasts. Why do we do different with God? Why do we do different with God? Well, you can keep all your sin too. God still loves you, and just come to God. And I believe it's just as I am. But just as I am, that I want God, and that's all I want. You see, these principles are all through the Bible. But our modern methods today have destroyed us. I'll be right back. I wasn't planning on reading this, but I'm going to read it this morning. This is A.W. Tozer's Pursuit of God. And A.W. Tozer says this. He says, the best and safest way to deal with these truths is to raise our eyes to God. Well, let me read the whole thing. He says, important as it is that we recognize God working in us, I would yet warn against a too great preoccupation with the thought. It is a sure road to sterile passivity. God will not, listen to this now. Please listen to this part. God will not hold us responsible to understand the mysteries of election, predestination, and the divine sovereignty. Just understand what he's saying here. He says, the best and safest way to deal with these truths is to raise our eyes to God and deep reverence say, O Lord, thou knowest. Those things belong to the deep and mysterious profound of God's omniscience. Prying into them makes theologians, but it will never make saints. See, we got a lot of theologians today that know how to break down the Bible completely. They can tell you about, brethren, please believe, I'm all about doctrine. I'm all about learning about predestination and election. I'm all about teaching about those things and going through those things. But those things make more of a theologian than they do a saint. And what's lacking today are saints. Individuals walking what they preach. This world out here can care less about predestination. Let me go knock on the door over here. Hey, do you have a few moments? I'd like to talk to you about predestination and election. Huh? Get off my porch. Now, I'm not saying there's not a time and place for them because that can bring in false doctrine. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. And don't misunderstand what A.W. Tozer's saying. But what he's saying is we're making more theologians today that know this Bible inside and out, but that's all they know. And it's not walked out in a Christian life towards others that are out there. I can tell you all about and break down completely and multiple of outlines on predestination and on election and all these other doctrines, yet my attitude stinks when I talk with my neighbor. That's what A.W. Tozer is talking about. Yet I still have bitter. I'm still envious at my brother. That's what he's talking about. He goes on to say this. He says, failure to see this is the cause of a very serious breakdown in modern evangelism. He says, the idea of cultivation and exercise, so dear to the saints of old, has now no place in our total religious picture. It is too slow, too common. We now demand glamour and fast-flowing dramatic action. A generation of Christians reared among push buttons and automatic machines is impatient of slower and less direct methods of reaching their goals. He's saying exactly what I've been preaching. We've short-circuited the Holy Spirit of God and we've gone to methods and programs to win souls rather than the slow, true way of trying to win them to Jesus Christ. A.W. Tozer, through this book, talking about all this. And he wasn't even Baptist. This man's on target with some things. He says this, we've been trying to apply machine-age methods to our relations with God. I'll read it again. We have been trying to apply machine age methods to our relation with God. We read our chapter, have our short devotions, and rush away, hoping to make up for our deep inward bankruptcy by attending another gospel meeting or listening to another thrilling story told by a religious adventurer lately returned from afar. The tragic results of this spirit are all about us. Shallow lives, hollow religious philosophies, the preponderance of the element of fun in gospel meetings, the glorification of men, trust in religious externalities, quasi-religious fellowships, salesmanship methods, the mistaking of dynamic personality for the power of the Spirit. That's really good right there. Because somebody can sing well, play a musical instrument well, has great oratory skills, is dynamic, is charismatic, we take that for the Spirit of God moving. It's not. It's not. We can get somebody up there to play that piano that will stir our emotions, but may never ever touch our spirit. This is the stuff that's missing in churches today. We're missing the Holy Ghost of God. We're missing the Holy Ghost of God. We go through the motions. We read our little short devotion, our little time with God in the morning, and then we go on our way. And expect that to move God, to move in our lives. And it will not happen. It will not happen. He says, mistaking of dynamic personalities for the power of the Spirit, these and such as these are the symptoms of an evil disease, a deep and serious malady of the soul. We're sick today. And as we're going to get to Asa this afternoon or in the morning service, his feet became diseased. And the feet of the church today is diseased because we have left off our walk with God. Moses preached for 120 years. He was a preacher of righteousness. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. So, diligently seeking God. And then we go into Noah in verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. All right. God sees Noah. God sees Noah, and God shows grace to Noah. And the Bible says here, gives us a little bit more insight in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, that being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Look, we know, brethren, if you believe your Bible this morning, if you believe your Bible this morning, which I believe almost everybody here, I would say probably does, do we not believe and will we not testify to the fact that everything we see is going to get burned up? Everyone we see, every one of us will not be here. Understand what I mean? Someday our soul is leaving. Now, if the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and we're still alive, we take part in the rapture of the church. 7 years of tribulation hit. We're up there with the Lord, but we're no longer part of this world. I guess the point that I'm getting at this morning is what we see right now is temporal. And a lot of Christians live in this realm and they only stay in this realm. God wants us to give us an eye to eternity. What God is trying to do in our lives now is to prepare us for over there. This is just a short amount of training time. This is not it. But a lot of Christians get caught up with this and won't let go of this. And that's where all their struggles come, is because they will not let go of this life. This life is not it. Look, Christians hold on to a job like this. Christians hold on to their finances like this. Christians hold on to family members like this. Well, God, why are you taking them? God says, because I'm eventually going to take everyone. It's just they're going before you. And what God says is you're staying here, and what you should be doing while you're staying here is preparing for when you get over there. Because you're going to be with them. If they're saved, there's no reason for sorrow, though sorrow will come naturally. I understand that. But we also have hope that someday we'll be over there with them. To live in the light of it. And when you can live in the light of it, there'll be less discouragement and despondency, knowing that someday, like David said, I will go to him. He won't come to me. Noah, preacher. He was a preacher of righteousness. And the Bible says here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Look what happened. Moved with fear. That's what we need today. We need more people moving with fear. You will say, preacher, well, 2 Timothy says that God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. Right. But the Bible also says to fear God. And when you fear God and you realize who God is, you'll move with fear. A right, godly, reverential fear of the Almighty. See, we still think Jesus is still that baby in the manger scene there. He's laying in that feeding trough. And no. Brethren, when John sees Jesus, Revelation chapter 1, he falls down as dead. When Daniel sees an angel, falls down an angel as dead. Ezekiel, Isaiah. When anybody gets in the presence of God, it's not like we think or is what it purported to be. We forget that God's holy, God's righteous, God is almighty. He is the great creator. God told Moses, no man can see my face and live. God is loving, God is caring, God is long-suffering. But he's also God to fear in the right and correct way. And when you have a right and correct fear of God, you'll check up on your life. Because you'll have to give an account someday. So Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Yet Noah, though he's found grace in the eyes of God, he moves with fear. He's got a little pep in his step when it comes to the cause of God. He's not slothful. He's not lazy. He does what God says to do. Because look what it says. Move with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Who did he first preach to? His house. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. You know, when you live for God and you strive to bring your house to live for God, your household, those that have households, you're going to condemn the world. You're going to censure the world. The world is not going to like you when you strive to live for God. Go ahead today and try to be the man you need to be for Jesus Christ. And see if you won't have a bunch of people trying to rip your eyeballs out because you're trying to be a man. Go head out here today and try to dress and act like a biblical godly lady and see how many other women will want to rip out your eyes and pull out your hair because you're striving to live for God. Go ahead and try it. You condemn the world by the way you live, a righteous and a godly life. And that's exactly what happened here with Noah. He was a preacher of righteousness. The word condemn means to censure. Condemned is not a nice word. Well, you're just not a nice Christian. You just don't love people. I do love people. I love people enough to tell them the truth with the right spirit. If you don't get right with God and you don't get saved, there's an eternity out there in either heaven or a place called hell that literally exists. Brethren, right now underneath our feet is a place called hell. Right under our feet, right now, in the center of this earth, there is a place called hell, where those who have never been born again by the Spirit of God, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, they reject God, they go down there. Their body's put in a grave out here, but the soul and spirit go down there. Do we believe that? Do our lives represent that we believe that? Do our actions and what we put the emphasis on show that we believe that? I'm being honest. Time's short. Time is really short. I don't know how much time we got left, but we need to work for the night is coming. You say, look what the Bible says here real quick, Hebrews 11 verse 7. By the which he condemned the world. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, but he condemned the world by his preaching. What does it mean? Pronounced to be wrong, guilty, worthless, or forfeited. Adjudged or sentenced to punishment. He condemned the world by the things that he preached. He says, Noah preached it, if you're guilty before God. And if you don't get in this ark, when that rain begins to fall, you're going to be lost along with your whole household. I'm preparing, God showed me to make this ark. And if you just get in this ark, when the time comes, you'll be saved from the wrath to come. And right now we preach Jesus Christ and him crucified, and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you place your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, you'll be saved from the wrath to come. That's the gospel, and that's what we ought to preach every day of our life as God provides opportunities for us. And we need to live in the light of it. We need to live in the light of it. Noah lived in the light of it. Take your Bible, look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18. Now, I don't have time this morning to go through these verses here. There's been a lot of questions, some question about what this verse means, part of this verse. But this is what I believe it means. I don't got time to break it down this morning. That's another study. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, though, says, First Peter chapter 3, verse number 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. I believe by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, Jesus Christ preached to those spirits that are in prison now by Noah. Noah was moved, I believe, by the Holy Spirit of God to be a preacher of righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ worked and preached through Noah to those spirits that are now in prison during that 120-year time span. God used Noah to deal with those souls. Now look, you say, what kind of nonsense is this? Well, should we not desire for Jesus Christ to speak through us now as we preach and teach and talk to others about him? Are we not? Do we not ask for leading and guidance and direction from the Holy Spirit of God? Does the Holy Spirit not dwell within us now? There's plenty of scriptures in the Old Testament to where the Holy God put his words in man's mouth. And what that man was speaking was not what that man was speaking, but what God was speaking through that man. And so I believe God used Noah and God spoke. Noah was God's mouthpiece to those spirits that are now in prison. They knew that judgment was coming and they rejected it, and only 8 people got on that ark. That should put a little fear in us today. Only 8 people got saved, in a sense, back there in Noah's flood. And they were all part of one household. Few, the Bible says, Jesus said, few there be that find that narrow path. Many will take that broad way which leads to destruction. Flip over to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, and look at verse number 4. 2 Peter 2, 4. The Bible says here, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. God used Noah. Noah was willing to be used of God. You see, from the beginning until now, the Lord uses men to preach his word with a message of deliverance, salvation, and judgment to come. God uses men to preach his word of deliverance, salvation, and judgment to come. We can now be the mouthpiece for God if we let God work in our life. To tell individuals out there that there's hope and that they can be saved from their sin, they can be delivered from their sin through Jesus Christ. There is hope, there is deliverance found through Jesus Christ. Now, take your Bible, look back over here at Genesis chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. Lord willing, we'll get a little bit more into this next week, but I'm going to touch on a few things here to help next week as we go into it. Genesis chapter 6. And look at verse 2 again. All right. We're going to look at verse 4 first, and then we're going to go back to verse 2. But I'm going to read verse 2 again. That the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Okay. Now as we go through this, there's some people who believe that those sons of God were just the godly line of Seth. Right? So God of Seth came into the daughters of men who were the daughters of Cain. And when they came together, verse number 4 happens. These were giants. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men and they bare them children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. Now we're going to go through both sides on this thing here. Last time I checked, if a lost man marries a saved woman, last time I checked, they don't create giants. I'm just using my common sense now. Look, I'm going to prove this thing. Now, these giants were not giants of the faith. These are literally big people. And the Bible establishes that in the Old Testament. The word giants is used 17 times, and it's all in the Old Testament. And we're going to get through all this. And then I try to do my best is let the Bible define the Bible. Every time you find the sons of God in the Old Testament, it's referring to angelic beings. In the New Testament, it refers to you and I. We are the sons of God. But you will never find that in the Old Testament. Something happens here to where you get giant people. I talked about it last week. so tall that some of them were as tall as that blue part up there on that window. That's a big person. Brethren, if I walked out that door and someone was walking around Ray Street and they were that tall, I'm coming in and I'm using the bathroom. I'm being serious. We're going to look through it. One of them, their bed was higher than the tip of that wood up there on that window. They say that the measurements, their bed would be as high as where the ceiling meets the wall right there. That's their bed. Brethren, if I laid down the bed, this is how big I would be in that bed. You could put 10 of me in there. This is the giants that the Bible talks about. This just does not happen because an ungodly, a saved man marries an unsaved woman. You don't get that. Now look here, I'm not going to go into all this, but brethren, there's shenanigans and stuff going on today in our world. Unfortunately, I come out of some stuff learning about Satanism, witchcraft, Wicca, a satanic ritual abuse called SRA. The devil moves and does things through sexual perversions. And there's some knowledge I wish I did not have. But a lot of Christians today are living in their glass house and don't even touch the world. You got people right now, celebrities, right now saying that they're having sexual relations with angels. Yes. Now look, I know I'm getting strange looks like you're crazy, preacher. Until you live the life I lived and seen some of the stuff I've seen, then just blood dripping from the ceiling in my own house. Brother, my mom was involved in stuff, and to this day they won't acknowledge it. I tried to confront my parents recently about some of these things, and they just want to sweep it under the rug. My mom going crazy so many times, my dad's trying to hold her back saying, Chris, get all the knives out of the kitchen. Come home from church one day. My mom would go to church, come home from church one day, go down to the basement. Up there in Broadsville, I could take you to the house. The house is still there. Go down there in the basement, and there's like an 8-foot, perfectly in circumference pentagram spray painted on the floor. And it wasn't there when we left for church. And it was perfect. See my mom going so crazy, taking our minivan and driving it into the church building up there in Broadsville. Screaming out because the devils were messing with her. Brethren, I've been in church before. My mom's been in church and she started having burnings come up on her arms. And they're still there to today, the scars of upside down crosses just being burned in their skin while in a church service. So don't think that I believe there's a spiritual side to this thing, brethren. And the Bible shows us there's a spiritual side to this thing. And we get caught up, again, like I said, in this temporal world, and we don't realize that if God opened our eyes, there's a lot of stuff going on right above our heads. Yes, brethren, these things, you do not mess with Satan. You don't mess with Satan. There's Christian songs out there today, I'll stomp on Satan's head. You're a fool. You don't even know what you're talking about. You're a fool. Well, I'll just tell Satan to go. Like one of those songs was in that chorus book. You do not mess with Satan. Now, I'm not afraid because of Jesus Christ. I'm not having a spirit of fear, but Satan is no way to be trifled with lightly. He knows exactly what he's been doing, and he's been messing with mankind since the garden. He knows us better than we know us. That's why it's so important to put on the whole armor of God. For we wrestle not against spirit. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. Brethren, what do you think that is? What do you think darkness is? When you go in your room and you shut the light off? It's talking about a spiritual darkness. I don't know if you've ever experienced before, but it's not fun. It's not fun. It is not fun at all. But this is Bible. And we need to put on our big boy boots and realize that we're fighting a spiritual warfare every day. And there's an enemy out there right now that we can't see, an unseen enemy who's going to do everything to dissuade us from preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now you have giants. Definition, dictionary, a man of extraordinary bulk and stature, a person of extraordinary strength or power, bodily or intellectually. Like I said, it's found 17 times in Scripture. We're going to close with these verses. Look at Numbers chapter 13. This is the after of what Genesis chapter 6 is talking about. Numbers chapter number 13. And look at verse number 32. Numbers 13, verse 32. Numbers chapter 13, verse 32. The spies have come back to give a report. And in Numbers chapter 13, verse 32, the Bible says this. They brought up an evil report of the land, which they searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which had their doctorate degree in theology, and we were scared of them. No, these were big people. These weren't men of renown that had some great wisdom because God gave it to them, or somehow they attained it because they married a lost woman, or a lost woman married a saved man. No, these men were scared when they searched out that land. They were so scared, they came back and brought an evil report to the whole nation of Israel saying, we can't go in and take that land because these guys are so big, they'll eat us up. Brethren, can you imagine? Okay, we're going to go fight them. And they're as big as up there. Yeah, you got a problem with me? Come on. Think about it, brethren. Imagine if you were facing having to fight a man that's as tall as the air conditioning unit. You would go home and cry to your mom and say, I don't think we can do this, Mom. They're too big for us. And you get a picture of it with David and Goliath. All of Israel scared to go take on this champion of the Philistines, Goliath, because he was a big man. But David went in the spirit of his God, and God gave him victory over that giant. Now look here. As we close up on this, and I said this before, for those that don't come on Wednesday nights, we preach through 2 Peter. I do not make this the be-all and end-all of my spiritual life. And I try to steer away of my opinions on these verses because if you want to believe they're spiritual men, go ahead and believe they're spiritual men. If you want to believe they're giants, go ahead and believe they're giants. We are here to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And too many brethren get division over this. Well, I'm not going to associate with you no more. I'm not going to talk to you no more because you believe this. And well, I'm not going to talk to you no more because you believe that. And it's dividing the cause of Christ over something like this. I'm not going down that road. And there's other subjects in the Bible that are controversial. And you say, preacher, what's your opinion? It doesn't matter what my opinion is because it don't matter. Well, do you believe in the gap or not the gap? I'm not telling you. Why? Because it doesn't matter. I'm going to break fellowship over you because you believe there's a world before the world, or you don't believe there was a world before the world. You see how the devil's got in and caused division within our own churches. Now, if you come to me and say, I don't believe in the blood atonement of Jesus Christ, okay, now we draw the line in the sand. Now we'll draw the line in the sand. If you start attacking the deity of Jesus Christ, okay, now the line's drawn in the sand, sir. Can't fellowship with you. We think we're all spiritual, though. We think we're all spiritual because we have this deep insight that, brethren, this is not the deep spiritual things of God. The deep spiritual things of God is loving your brother when he makes you mad. Not letting bitterness and envy creep up in your heart. Keeping yourself pure before God with a holy and godly life. Those are the things that matter to God. These opinions on what one way, I'm not breaking fellowship with you over it. Brethren, I'm going to get ready to close up here. Now, I ain't been pastoring very long, but to me, it's been the hardest job I've ever done. This has been the hardest job I've ever done. And if it wasn't for God's strength, I'd have run away a long time ago. But the longer I do this, I realize what matters. What matters is having grace with somebody. What matters is not biting and devouring one another because something's not the way you like it to be. That's true spirituality. True spirituality, someone that's truly spiritual will not murmur and complain when they're used. That's true spirituality. That's what God puts the emphasis on. And that's what you find all through the Pauline epistles. You don't see Paul talking about whether these were giants or not in Genesis chapter 6. Paul doesn't, as far as I know, Paul doesn't touch it in the New Testament. Peter goes a little bit down that road, but not much. Look at what Peter and Paul and them put the emphasis on. How many times you talk about, God talks about through Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 10. Look what the emphasis is put on through all those books right there. Charity. The bond of perfectness. Not whether I believe in a gap or not. But see, those things make us feel like we're smarter than other Christians because I got greater insight with you, and before we know it, we're up here, and before we know it, we're taking a bad fall. And people don't want what we got because we're so lifted up with our intellectual pride on the Bible. Too many preachers, they say the right thing, but they're too prideful. They're too arrogant, they're too lifted up because of their intellect. May God help us to be humble with our God. May God help us to abase and put to death pride and arrogancy and a forward mouth in the evil way and exhibit the fear of God in our life. Now, we'll go through these things here. But the more important thing with the verses I'm looking at as we go through it is, are you willing to face your spiritual giants and let God help you take them out? Because that's where we're at today. We're facing some big spiritual giants. And we need some Christians like David that are going to go in there and start slinging some stones and taking some of these giants that are in our life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, dear God. I thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness. Lord, help us, dear God, as we go forward. Lord, help us to live lives that exhibit the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to put the emphasis on what Jesus put the emphasis on. Lord, help us to be about good works, dear God. Help us to love one another, Lord. Help us to show charity. Help us to show patience. Dear God, there's a giant right there, Lord. Lord, help us to take out the giant of impatience in our life. Lord, help us with the things that really do matter in your word. And Lord, help us to walk close to you. Lord, the days are getting evil, Lord, more and more evil. Help us to redeem the time. We pray these things now in the precious name of your dear son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, brethren. Take a little break here. Take a little break here in about 5 minutes. If any men want to pray, we'll pray in my office. Amen.